I made an experiment. And this experiment can be replicated. I opened the scriptures and I read them without prayer. Can you believe that? I read that without prayer. And I wrote down what I understood. Next day, I came and opened the scriptures and I read the same passages, but this time I pray and I ask the Father for the Holy Spirit. You know what? I got to a different understanding the second day. Do you think it out from God? Absolutely. He sends the Holy Spirit every time that we open the scriptures to teach us. And you can do this experiment yourself and write it down, and you will prove the existence of the Holy Spirit. You think God will do that for you? Who says yes? Who says amen? Amen. He works time after time. It's like this. You are in a discussion, and discussions get heated, and all of a sudden you find yourself arguing high and loud, and then you listen to a little voice, pray, and you pray the prayer of Peter. Lord, save me. You think the Lord will save you? Right there? He will rebuke the devil. He will rebuke the flesh and let you go free in the very moment you were going to be exploding in anger. It's real. Those experiments, you can do it yourself. They work 100% all the time. Well, I will say not all the times, because sometimes I had to kneel several times to give self to Jesus because the flesh doesn't want to give up. But don't get up from your knees until the flesh is completely at the cross of Jesus Christ. Before I begin my subject, I would like the congregation to kneel with me. And this time, you're going to pray for me. Is that okay? So, I'm going to say the prayer, but you're going to have a prayer in your mind for the message this morning. Let's kneel those who can do possibly. Our precious Father in heaven, we want to open the scriptures and we want you to bless us with the Holy Spirit. Give us the understanding. And Lord, I commend everyone here for salvation. Anyone that is discouraged, anyone that is at a turning point, anyone that has come to be filled with the Holy Spirit, Lord, grant us, we ask humbly, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. I don't know if you have friends that will challenge you, but I have a couple of friends that have challenged me and says, oh, the Holy Spirit is not a person. He doesn't exist as a person. It's just a force that comes from God. Oh, by the way, it's Jesus Christ himself. And I said, no, you might be deceived, or so I gotta go to the scriptures and ask God for the Holy Spirit to teach me. And this is my purpose today, to answer that question. Is the Holy Spirit a person? Is the Holy Spirit an individual? Because some people say the Godhead is made out of only two, the Father and the Son. And, oh boy, you know, those winds of doctrine are blowing left and right. But by the grace of God, we're going to have an answer on His Word. And it says in Genesis 1:2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of waters. So, we see the Holy Spirit moving upon the face of the waters. Now, I look into several texts in the Bible. There is one in, I think it's, what is it? 2 John 5, 7 and 8. It's called the Johannine text. But that's been disputed for centuries, so I didn't use that to prove there are three in the Godhead. But there is a text that nobody has disputed yet, and nobody has come up with any doubt on it. It's 2 Corinthians 13:14, when Paul was saying goodbye to the Corinthians, and he says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, which is the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen." We see the three dignitaries of heaven in this text. This text cannot be disputed that easily because it's very clear. So there are three. And the Holy, and by the way, the Holy Spirit come and commune. And for him to commune, he has to come and be with us. Now, in Matthew 28:19 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost." It gotta be the three of them. Some people have disputed this one, but they have no grounds. I have researched and researched. They don't have any historical documents, grounds, nothing. So to deny the Holy Spirit is nonsense at this moment. Okay. Is the Holy Spirit God? In Acts 5, verses 3 to 4, it says, "But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?" So you cannot lie to something that doesn't exist. Or something that, it got to be intelligent, the person to lie to. Because you cannot lie to a dog. He wouldn't understand. It says, "And keep back part of the price of the land while it remains. Was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto..." Peter declared the Holy Spirit God. He identified him as God. Now, in Hebrews 9:14, it says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God?" Jesus identified the Holy Spirit as eternal. Now, is he everywhere? In Psalms 139, verse 7 to 10 says, "Whither shall I go from thy Spirit?" So David had a question, "Whither shall I go from thy Spirit?" The Spirit is everywhere. It's omnipresence. 1 Corinthians 2:4 and 10, it says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." So he knows all the deep things of God. And for him to search the things of God the Father, the things of Jesus, gotta be another person. Otherwise, he wouldn't search. It will be God himself, the Father. He is omnipotent. 1 Corinthians 2:10. "But God has revealed them unto us by the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God." So, he is all-powerful. Is the Holy Spirit a co-creator? Was he in the creation? Did he participate? You know that in Genesis, I think it's 16 or 26, and it says, "Let us make man into our own image." And so God is declaring that he is a group of different individuals. Let us make men. Let us make men into our image. So Job declared the following. He says, Moses wrote the book of Job, and chapter 27, verse 3, "All the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. The Spirit of God. So what did Jesus blow into Adam when he created him? The breath of life. And what is the other name for the breath of life? The Spirit of life. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit sustains the life of the good and the bad. In 2 Corinthians 13:14, it shows that He is the third person of the Godhead. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you. Amen. Well, if He is a person, He will have a name, isn't it? And I'm gonna mention that later on in the sermon. In Mark 28:19, it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost." So He has a name. So to be a person, you got a name. If you got a name, He is a person. Now, He has power of His own. In Romans 15:13, it says, "Now the God of hope filled you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." So the Holy Ghost has His own power. In Romans 15:19, "Through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and around about into Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ." So, Paul even give credence to the Holy Spirit and His power for him to be able to preach the gospel. Now, one of their main goals of the Holy Spirit is to reproduce the character of God in us. Galatians 5:22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." If you really want to have the fullness of the character of Christ, take the list of Galatians 5:22 and 23 and get one by one and ask the Lord, "Lord, please, can you bless me on gentleness? Can you bless me on long-suffering or faith or meekness?" You know what you're lacking for. So you can ask the Lord. "Because against such there is no law." If you have the fullness of the gift of the Holy Spirit, there is no condemnation. There is no judgment. The law is worthless in regard of your case. Romans 15:16. "That I shall be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost." What sanctifies our offering? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, is responsible for visions. In Ezekiel 11:1, Ezekiel mentioned, "Moreover, the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the east gate of the Lord's house." In Ezekiel 8:3 says, "And He put forth the form of a hand and took me by the locks of my head, and the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and heaven, and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looked toward the north, where it was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoked to jealousy." You know, the word here for God is Elohim, which is plural. It means gods. And it's mentioned that the Spirit lifting Him up. So the Spirit is part of Elohim in this text. Now, can the Spirit take people places? Yes. Let's look at Simeon. Simeon in Luke 2:25-30. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. How did he come to the temple? He was transported by the Holy Spirit. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Was Jesus also transported by the Holy Spirit? It is says in Luke 4:14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out the fame of him through all the regions round about. So Jesus didn't have to walk all the length of where he needed to go. The Holy Spirit took him. Isn't it nice? And if you are hoping to be one of the 144,000, is it going to happen to you? Absolutely. Now let's look at the case of Philip. Acts 8:39-40. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord cut away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found in Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. The eunuch met Philip. Philip taught him the scriptures that he was reading. He got baptized, coming out of the water. He didn't even have a chance to say thank you very much. Philip was taken by the Holy Spirit and put in a city that he needed to preach from there on. That's what's going to happen to the 144,000. If you read the book of Joel, the book of Joel is all the instruction and description of the 144,000. It says that they will leap from mountain to mountain. They will climb walls. They go into windows like a thief. If the Lord is going to tell you, you got to preach in such and such jail, he's going to take you. If he takes you to China, you'll go to China. What is possible for the Holy Spirit? Everything. Now, he is one of the persons of the Godhead. Ezekiel 8:3. And he put forth the form of an hand, and took me by the locks of my head, and the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and heaven, and brought me into visions of God, to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looked toward the north, where was the seat and the image of jealousy, which provoked jealousy. By the way, and at the gate of the north, women were weeping for Tammuz. And if you read Ezekiel 8, you will see the description of the church condition today. Isaiah 48:16. Come ye near unto me, hear this, ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was. There I am, and now the Lord God and His Spirit hath sent me. Have you seen the three dignitaries of heaven here in Isaiah 48:16? There am I, and now the Lord God and His Spirit hath sent me. The three of them in Isaiah. Apostle Paul wishes the Corinthians the communion of the Holy Ghost. And we read that one in 2 Corinthians 13:14 that says, the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you. Amen. You probably think, Brother Cortez, you have read it 3 times already. Yes, I did, and probably I read it 4 times. Because it's such an important for us to mark it in the Bible that it proves the tree of the Holy Spirit, the tree of the Godhead. Now, somebody came and says, do you see the Holy Spirit in the throne of God? Well, let's see what the scripture says. Luke 22:69. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of whom? The power of God. The power is mentioned here. Mark 9:2. What are we going to identify the power? Mark 9:1. And he said unto them, verily, verily, I said unto you, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. And if you know that the kingdom of God was at hand, it was Jesus Christ that has arrived, and now he comes with power with somebody else. What is the kingdom of God? Matthew 3:2. And saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Who spoke that words? John the Baptist. Because he saw Jesus right in the multitude, and he pointed to him, the kingdom of God, identifying Jesus Christ. Now, what is the power of God? Let's read Luke 1:35. And the angel answered and said unto her, and to Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Who is the power of God identifying here? Who came to Mary? The power of God, which is the Holy Spirit. So when you read the power of God in the Bible, the arm of God, the hand of God, is directly identified with the Holy Spirit. But because it is the power of God, that overshadow Mary, the Holy Spirit. Now, some people said, oh, but the Holy Spirit is Jesus Christ himself. Well, let's see what the scripture says. Matthew 3:16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straight out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a what? Like a dove, and lighting upon him. So, very clearly, it wasn't Jesus, because the Holy Spirit came to Jesus. So, now, 1 Peter 3:18, it mentions that for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death. What nature of Jesus died? In the flesh. Only the human nature of Jesus Christ died. The divinity cannot die. That's why it's a stress here that being put to death in the flesh by quickened by whom? Who raised Jesus Christ? According to this text? The Holy Spirit. So, John 16:13-14. We're going to see the dynamics between Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Very interestingly, the Holy Spirit never speaks of himself. He's too unselfish that he only speaks the word that he searched from God or what Jesus told him to say. And you know what? Jesus did the same. And I'm going to show you here, if you open the scriptures, in John 14. And I'm going to show that the same as Jesus. John 14:10. Book of John. Chapter 14, verse 10. And the story goes that Philip comes to Jesus and says, Lord, show us the Father. And Jesus answered, how long have I been with you, Philip, and you haven't seen the Father? So, if we want to know the Father, we need to look at Jesus. You know, because he is the express image of his person, according to Paul, when he wrote in the book of Hebrews. And he says here in John 14:10, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. The same as the Holy Spirit. But the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Not even the miracles of Jesus he performed on his own power. It was the Father. Jesus was the express image of the Father, the same word, the same character. So, going back into the notes, it says here in John 16:13-14, under he receives from Jesus, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you." But if the Holy Spirit, notice here, is called he. He's a noun. He's a person. So, if he shall receive from mine, so Jesus gave it to the Holy Spirit, and shall show it unto you. And what was in Jesus? Jesus only spoke about the Father, the word of the Father, and the miracle of word of the Father. So the Holy Spirit is showing the Father. He is another comforter, John 14:16, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another." It doesn't say the same comforter that I am. It says another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Where is the Holy Spirit sent from? John 15:26, "But when the comforter is come, whom I will send unto you," so Jesus sent the comforter from the Father, "even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me." So basically, it's very clear that it's not Jesus. John 15:26, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you, the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me." So the Holy Spirit testify of Jesus. Now, the blasphemy against the Son of Man versus against the Holy Spirit. That's very important to know, not to reject the Holy Spirit, because it's the only contact, the only comforter we have here. And it says in Luke 12:10, "And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, he shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, he shall not be forgiven." And you know why? Because the Holy Spirit was sent to rebuke us from sin, righteousness, and judgment. If we reject the Holy Spirit, who is going to let us know that we are in sin? We don't feel guilty of judgment. We don't fear the judgment to come like Judas. In sin, judgment, and righteousness. Who is going to tell you about the righteous one, Jesus Christ, if we reject the Holy Spirit? Nobody. We are lost. Absolutely lost. So on Matthew 12:32 says, "And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." It's an absolute. Acts 2:33. "Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he shall shed forth this, which ye now see and hear." And the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father, John 15:26, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." The Holy Spirit in, you know, there's a very interesting thing that I learned this year. The Holy Spirit intermediate between Jesus and the Father. Did you know that? I didn't know that. It says here in Hebrews 9:14, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Remember that Jesus was made sin for us? And there was a separation between God the Father and the human race? So who will talk in Jesus' behalf to the Father? Right here I mentioned it was the Holy Spirit. 1 Timothy 3:16, "And without controversy, grace is a mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seeing of angels, preaching to Gentiles, believe in the world, receive up in glory. What in the world Jesus needed to be justified? Wasn't he God, innocent and pure, never committed a sin? He didn't need to be justified if that's the case. But he was made sin for us. He took my sins and your sins. And God the Father looked and he was guilty because he took my guilt. And God the Father punished him, taking his life. He needed to be justified. The Holy Spirit intervention. Now, he's a distinct person from the Father. The Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Some people say, oh, the Holy Spirit is the Father. So how can the Holy Spirit intercede for us? The Father interceding to the Father on himself. Makes no sense. The Holy Spirit searches the deep things of God. If he was a different person, he wouldn't search the deep things of God because he was the Father. So he's not the Father. 1 Corinthians 2:10. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So the Holy Spirit is not the Father. In John 16:13 it reads, howbeit when he stresses a person, the noun, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. So the Holy Spirit has to hear it before he speak it. And he will show you things to come. 1 Corinthians 2:10. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, but the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, I make a little table here on the things that Jesus and the Holy Spirit do in a similar way. And you know, by the way, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, their purpose is to honor the Father. So, they communicate everything is from the Father, the two of them. And we know that the Holy Spirit speaks not of himself. So, this Jesus didn't speak of himself, and I already read it on John 14:10. And there are some other texts that I can mention, and right in your right-hand side, on the first window, you can see, and John 5:31 says, I bear witness of myself. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. John 12:49, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father, which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I shall say and what I shall speak. John 8:28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father hath taught me, I speak these things. So, you can say all the words of Jesus Christ registered on the Bible were the words of the Father. Now, the Holy Spirit fellowship and associates. In 2 Corinthians 13:14, we read that one. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. So did Jesus associate with us. Matthew 1:23, behold, a virgin shall be with a child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. You know, Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Emmanuel, and the last syllable, El is singular for God. Exodus 2:25-8, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Now the Holy Spirit comforts Acts 9:31. Then had the churches rested through all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord, and the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. So the Holy Ghost comforts. Jesus also comforts. John 14:16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Another comforter, because Jesus is also a comforter. Now the Holy Spirit intercedes, and Jesus intercedes. In Romans 8:26 says, likewise the Spirit also helped our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So our simple, humble prayers cannot go to the throne of heaven, as we say. The Holy Spirit had to take our prayers and put it in heavenly language. It's so dramatic that the Holy Spirit do his own groanings. It's loud. It's powerful. But there is no prayer taken by the Holy Spirit that doesn't go in the name of Jesus Christ. It has to have the merits of Jesus Christ. Now it says here on the right hand side in Hebrews 7:22, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. In Romans 8:34, who is he that condemned? It is Christ that died, yea rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So you see, our prayers and the intercession, it goes into the dynamics and between Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God. The Holy Spirit pour in our hearts the words to pray. And then we put into our prayers the incense. We put in the name of Jesus Christ his merits, and then our prayer is ready to be taken by the Holy Spirit and presented in the throne of God. So when my prayers goes there by the Holy Spirit, Jesus is right there and saying to the Father, my blood, it comes in my merits too. Now the Holy Spirit testifies of Jesus, who testifies of the Father. In John 15:26, it says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And testifying of Jesus is testifying of the Father. Because he only spoke the Father's words and did the Father's miracles. And in John 14:8-10, it says, Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Now, we already established that the Holy Spirit has a name. You know, be ye therefore going to the whole world, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So he has a name. What is his name? What is his name? Okay. In Matthew 28:19, I just verbalized that one. But we're going to look into, let's read the right hand block when it says Apostle Paul identified the Holy Ghost in Psalms 95:6-10. This is the word of Apostle Paul, Hebrews 3:7-9. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, who said it? The Holy Ghost. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation and the day of temptation and the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Now let's look to the left. And we're going to read where Paul was quoting from. He was quoting from Psalms 95, 6 to 10. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord. The word Lord is a translation of the word Jehovah in the Hebrew. The Lord, our Maker. For He is our God. He is our Elohim. In other words, Elohim is plural. And the plurality of God takes the name of Jehovah. All three takes the name of Jehovah. And we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work 40 years long was I grieved with this generation. So who spoke here? The Lord God, Jehovah Elohim. And who was identified, Apostle Paul, in Hebrews 3, 7 to 9? The Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost takes the name of Jehovah Elohim. Now, He is also known as Adonai. Adonai, what happened is that the Jewish people, after they came back from Babylon, they said, oh, now we have to make things right so the Lord will not punish us anymore. We have to do things right. And so when they read the Ten Commandments and it says, thou shalt not take thy name in vain, they said, we are not going to mention the name of God anymore. Instead, we're going to say Adonai. So that's why today nobody knows how does it sound, the name of God. We read it Jehovah because some people added some vowels into it, but we don't know. So they said I'm going to read them the right hand side first, Acts 28, 25 to 26. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah. This is Apostle Paul saying, Isaiah said this. Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto these people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. Now, since he was quoting Isaiah, I was interested in to go and see where he was quoting from. And I found it in Isaiah 6, 8 to 9. It says, also I hear the voice of the Lord saying, and when I look in my concordance, the word the Lord, it means Adonai. And it says, saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here I am, send me. And he said, go and tell these people. And this is what was quoted in Acts. Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Now, the Holy Spirit is also called the Most High. And I'm going to read Acts 7:51 first. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. So, the apostle that was speaking this, he was quoting Psalm 78:17. I would like to know that. And I went, and they sin ye more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. But he was identified in the New Testament as the Holy Ghost that was provoked in the wilderness. Now, the Holy Spirit is also called, is mentioned as the Lord. From Hebrew to Greek, you're going to see a big change when in the Hebrew, the word Lord that we have in the Bible is mostly translated Jehovah. I wish it was translated Jehovah even today, but they translated Lord. And now, if we go to the New Testament, every time that you read Lord, if you had to translate that back to Greek, what would you say? You have to say Jehovah. So, in 2 Corinthians 3:17, Paul says, now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. if you were going to speak in Hebrew this, you will say, now Jehovah is that Ruach, which is the Spirit. And where Ruach and the Spirit and Ruach of Jehovah, there is liberty. So, what I'm saying is this. If you are going to translate the New Testament into Hebrew, you have to translate the word Lord into Jehovah. And it says here, now the Lord is the Spirit. So now, Jehovah is the Spirit, is what I'm saying. And where the Spirit, and where the Spirit of Jehovah is, there is liberty. And we know that the Spirit's name is Jehovah. It was already established previously. Now, has the Holy Spirit attributes of a person? We have seen few of them. And we're going to reestablish it one more time. We know that the Holy Spirit has a name. When we were compelled to teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit has a mind of His own. Romans 8:27. And He that searches the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Very interesting text. For He that searches the heart. Who searches the heart? Okay, let's be careful. He that searches the heart knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit. So God the Father knows what is in the mind of the Holy Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We learned that He makes intercession for us. Now, the Holy Spirit repeatedly in the book of John is called a He, not an It. John 15:26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. John 16:8, verses 13 to 15. And when He comes, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that He speak, and He shall show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for He shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father had are mine, therefore said I, that He shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. Well, did Apostle John establish that He is a He? it takes no brain to get it. Okay. The Holy Spirit addressed as a person. John 16:13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself. Another word establishing Himself. Only a person is Himself. Now, in 1 Peter 3:18, we established that He raised Jesus Christ from the dead. For Christ also had once suffered for sin, the judge for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Remember that the Holy Spirit was interceding for Jesus? He teaches and brings all things to memory. So, you know, all we had to do is read the Scriptures, pray to God, and don't worry about if you don't have good memory, because there is a promise here. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Praise God, because I don't have good memory. So we already know that He fellowships and associates. And I told you that I was going to read 2 Corinthians 13:14 until we fall dead. But this is very important. 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion. Only a person can commune The Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Now, can a person have feelings? Well, the Holy Spirit has feelings. Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, he also loves. Romans 15:30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord of Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Can he be vexed? Can he get sad? He could be get sad, being sad. Isaiah 63:10. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. He also gives orders. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the works thereinto I have called them. He expressly ordered the disciples to set Paul and Barnabas. Acts 10:19. Does he speak? Does he have a voice? While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Hebrews 3:7 mentioned that he has a voice. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation and the day of temptation and the wilderness. He also teaches 1 Corinthians 2:13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but with the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So as we open the scriptures and we read, the Holy Spirit says, go to another place and compare. Oh, there is another text that I want to show you. He teaches. He reveals. We don't understand, so he has to reveal us. He says in Acts 10:19, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit says unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. He guides, he hears, and reveals things to come. John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. How much truth? All truth. For he shall not speak of himself. So, he will speak about whom? He reveals the Father. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he shall show things to come. He also witnessed. Hebrews 10, verses 15 to 18. Wherefore the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he hath said before, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of this is, there is no more offerings for sin. I met some, I was cooperating like 30 years ago. I met some evangelicals knocking doors, and I talked to them, and they said, Oh, have you been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? I said, Of course. He says, But in the name of Jesus only. I said, How's that? Yeah, we baptize only in the name of Jesus, not the Father, the Holy Spirit, only Jesus. So, I went to the Bible and see what are they saying. Well, there are several texts that says that the apostle says, Are you being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? And they said, No, only in the baptism of John. So they were rebaptized in the name of Christ. I thought, well, maybe they have a reason for it or not. So I went to the scriptures and I found this. In Acts 2:38 says, When Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gifts of the Holy Ghost. And in Acts 19:5 says, When they hear this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I thought, well, maybe they base their beliefs on this. But what about Matthew in the last chapter? So it was I needed to clarify. So I went to Colossians 2:9-10. And this is what it reads. For in him, talking Jesus, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Oh, so in Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit dwelleth in him. Okay, so if I am baptized in the name of Jesus, all three come along. And verse 10, and ye are complete in him. So I want to be complete. That's why I was baptized. And to be complete, you have to receive the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because in Jesus, there is the fullness of the Godhead, bodily. So, Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and then the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. So, Paul blessed the Corinthians with these words. 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you. Amen. If you have a pen, you better take your pen out and mark this text in your Bible. Because it's a must. Now I have a prayer. I'm going to read promises. I'm going to make a call. And we are going to end with a blessing. This is the prayer of Paul. He says this in Ephesians 1:16-23. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and had put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filled all in all. So the fullness of Jesus Christ filled all in all. The Father, the Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit in Jesus. And 1 Peter 3:18 reads, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. And we read already Colossians 2:9-10, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power. Psalms 51:11. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Would you like to make that your prayer today? So, those who would like to say that, and would like to pray with me, I will invite you to come forward and give me company, because I'm also surrendering to the Lord this morning. And as I read the promises, would you like to come forward? It says in John 14:14-26, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. In John 16:26, it says, at that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. John 14:16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. I praise God for the Holy Spirit. I praise God for the Comforter, because he is the one who built in me the will and the doing according to his own grace. Because I don't have a will. I don't have a doing. God has to do it. Put it on me. And Are we thankful that the Holy Spirit takes our prayers and translates it in the works of heavenly language in the merits of Jesus Christ? How can the Father reject such a prayer? He cannot. He cannot. And so He is calling us today. And Matthew 12:31-32 says, "Wherefore I said unto you, all manner of sins and blasphemies shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." And God promised. In Galatians 3:14 it reads, "That the blessing of Abraham may come unto the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Ephesians 1:13, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." Would you like to be sealed with the Holy Spirit? Yes. Let's kneel if possible, and we request that from God. Father, I join the words of the psalmist when he said, "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." And give us this blessing as Apostle Paul blessed the Corinthians, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.